Hello everyone, man. The last day of Memphis, the 12th hour pop star Saturday Congregation, 9th hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 17, 2017, or it is Zip 21, 2021, and we'll start our first service today with a song entitled, We Are Nearing Home. The mountain in the promised land was a holy city built by Yah's own hand. As a weary footstep came the mountain's crest, we shall feel a homeland of eternal rest. We are nearing home. Of God, see the glory streaming through the gates of joy, where we soon will enter evermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing home. In the rows of the prophets we have long been. The wondrous city with the streets of gold. Now with rapture's vision we can see it there. With his halls of jasper and his mansions fair. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. The splendor gleaming from the dawns of thought, see the glory streaming through the gate of joy. Every soul will enter, nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing home. To enter the city are the faithful few, who keep Yah's commandments in the faith of Joshua too. And we'll lift our voices through the endless day, it's the songs of gladness and the songs of praise. We are nearing home.
Singing, we are here.
Gentiles, part 30. Okay, Revelation, we're going to start again with chapter 1 of Revelation. And we're going to pick up some readings from B.T. Hollop also on this book of Revelation to go along with our Bible reading. It says that the revelation of the Yahshua, Messiah, that the Yahweh gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John. Now notice it says here that he gave unto him to show unto his servants. Okay, his servants at that time were the 12 apostles. But it's talking about the future servants, clear down at the end of time. It says, verse 2, who bear record of the word of Yahweh and of the testimony of Yahshua Messiah, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John unto the seven congregations which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now the seven spirits that are before his throne are the seven congregations of Israel. That is fixing to be mentioned here. And let's go ahead and read. And from Yahshua Messiah, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's the reason why I'm going slowly back over this book of Revelation. Is we're dealing with Yahshua's own blood washing us here in the new covenant and the new testament with his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto Yahweh and his Father. Unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, hallelujah. I am the Alpha and Omega. Now this is Yahshua talking. I am the Alpha, beginning, and I am the closing. I am the ending of this earth's history of the 7,000 years. That's allotted for this earth. After Adam and Eve sinned. The beginning and the ending, said the Yahshua, which is and which was and which is to come, as the Almighty. See, it put comma here, the Almighty, but it left out the preposition. So there is one of at least seven different prepositions that you can put in there to supply, and I've put the preposition as the Almighty, because Yahweh the Father is the Almighty. Yahshua is the Mighty One, as mentioned in other places. Alright, it says in verse 9, Revelation 1, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of the Yahshua Messiah, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of Yahweh and for the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah. Now, what does it say about the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah? Other places, like Revelation 12, let's turn to it and read it right here. It says that, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried for travailing and birth, in pain to be delivered, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold a great red dragon, having 7 horns and 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them onto the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And he brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto Yahweh and unto his throne. Okay. Now that's toward the end of this chapter. It says, verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh, and have the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah. In other words, those that are keeping all the commandments of the sanctuary under Yahshua administration as the high priest, ministering over the sinner during this time of sojourn here on this earth in sin. So the sinner only is a sinner one time. He's only a sinner one time, and that may be clear up to the time that he's converted. And that is true. He's a sinner until he's converted. There's no question about it. And then when he becomes converted, he becomes classified then as a born-again, like Nicodemus, and have remission of sins forever to depart from sin, and so therefore he has a testimony of Yahshua Messiah. Okay, so now when we go back to Revelation chapter 1, we read verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Yahshua's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, yesterday when I did this sermon, I put Yahweh's day, but actually this is Yahshua's day as well, because it says there in Mark 2:27-28 that it is. And so it's not hard to realize that you just can turn to it. It says Mark, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and this is Yahshua talking, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man, which is Yahshua, is master also of the Sabbath. So in other words, he is also the owner of the Sabbath. In other words, he's co-created with the Father of the Sabbath. So it says, and then here's what Yahshua says in verse 11 of Revelation 1. I am the Alpha and Omega. As, I put the preposition as in there again, as the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send unto the 7 congregations which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Okay, we know that Ephesus was a pronounced church in Paul's and the disciples' day. Matter of fact, Ephesus was born along with the other 6 congregations, but long before the cross. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Okay, clothed with a garment, down unto the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like white like the wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto the fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. For the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, now this is Yahshua talking to John the Revelator, and the 7 golden candlesticks, for the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 congregations of Asia, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 congregations of Israel. And I said the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 congregations of Asia, which they were in Asia, but these are congregations of Israel in Asia. Okay? Because they have the 7 candlesticks, and the candlesticks is a part of the main furniture of the sanctuary system. It gives light to the whole building. You don't have light in the sanctuary, the priest can't function. Okay. And the light from the candlestick represents the 7 spirits of Yahweh coming from those 7 lamps that burn on that candlestick that gives light unto the whole temple, the whole house. It gives light unto all the people that accept the truth coming from there. And that truth started at the Garden of Eden and reaches clear on down to the end of time. That's what those 7 candlesticks represent, those 7 lamps on the 7 on that candlestick represent. Complete. And 7 means clear to the end of millennium. The 7th month goes clear to the end of millennium and in the 7,000 year. Alright, that's the end of chapter 1. Let's go on into chapter 2. Unto the angel of the congregation of Ephesus write. So this angel has an identity more than just an angel. This angel has the identity, as we've given it before, as Paul. And unto the angel, Paul, of the congregation of the Ephesus write. He's saying, he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now this is Yahshua addressing Paul. He's saying, Paul, I've observed you since I called you and made you an apostle to the Gentiles, and that's where you are now. And he says, I found all these things right in you. Everything's fine, except, and you have borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. And Paul didn't faint. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now he's telling Paul, I have somewhat against thee. But Paul never did leave his first love. So who is he talking about here? He's talking about the congregation of Ephesus. Ephesus was created way back there in the Old Testament as a symbol of this New Testament Ephesus. And they did. They fell away. They left their first love. So he says, to Paul, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, because Paul represents the church of Ephesus. And so he says, remember, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Well, we know that Ephesus fell away. After Paul died and went off the scene, We know that the whole congregation fell away. Matter of fact, all of the seven candlesticks that represents the seven congregations that we just read to you of Israel, they all come and have gone and have fallen away. They fell away in the type when they were being made up as literal cities in Asia before the cross. They flourished for the time of their existence, and they existed for about 1,000 years, all seven of these churches, one right after the other. Now, 1,000 years before the cross is when those churches came into existence. And they existed clear on up through the cross and into the first century. But they fell away, all seven of them. And so they were a type and a symbol for the seven congregations here that are represented by the figures that I'm fixing to tell you. Now, Paul represented Ephesus, that had come and gone and fallen away. Okay. Now in Revelation chapter 2, verse 6, he said, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the congregation." Now he's telling Paul, he said, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven congregations of Israel." And that's Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, in that order. "Unto him that overcometh, unto him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life." Now, who is this him that overcometh? He's talking about, first, the leader that he placed over these seven candlesticks. Because he said there in Revelation 1, he said the angels of the seven, he said the seven stars are the angels, in other words, are the prophet ministers that I have placed over these seven individual candlesticks. They're the angels of the seven congregations, it says. So he said, "Unto him," this is a pronoun for individual one. It's a pronoun, him. But it can also represent any one of 1,000 people that have accepted the truth in that congregation. It's just saying, simply unto him, the one that overcomes, each and every one that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of the life that is in the midst of the paradise of Yahweh. Now, isn't this amazing? It says the paradise of Yahweh. How did it say, why did it say in the midst of the Garden of Eden? Well, the Garden of Eden and paradise is one and the same thing. All right, in verse 8, "And unto the angel of the congregation in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." So who is this angel then of Smyrna? Well, the seven congregations have come and gone. They had about 1,000-year period or better. They had come and gone. And now we're talking about the new angel of the antitypical Smyrna. Antitypical Smyrna showed up in 1500 with Martin Luther, the Catholic monk coming out of the Catholic Church, converted to the Holy Scriptures, and Yahweh calling him out of the Catholic Church and giving him the title of the angel of the congregation in Smyrna. Now, he didn't say of Smyrna. He said in Smyrna. And where was Smyrna at? Smyrna was in the Catholic Church. Because when the Catholic Church took over the congregation of Ephesus by Constantine in about 321 A.D., Constantine took over control of all the seven congregations of what we're just reading about here. So the Catholic Church had complete control of the House of Israel, because House of Israel had apostatized and joined up with her. Alright? Just like the Adventists today and the Antichrist have apostatized and joined up with the Catholic Church again. Same, no difference. So it says, unto the angel Martin Luther of the congregation of Israel in the Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now notice that Yahweh kept his congregations of Israel alive through individual people, even though these individual people were taken captive by Babylon and held captive. Nevertheless, the life of the congregation, for instance, of Smyrna, was kept alive in Martin Luther. When he discovered righteousness by faith, Romans 1:17 and Habakkuk 2, he found out that righteousness by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, that's what forgives sins and not the system that the Catholic Church taught, he was born again. And Smyrna was revived. Okay? The congregation of Smyrna was revived through Martin Luther. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So now he's talking to Martin Luther here in 1500, and he's saying, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. And who is this saying that they were Jews? Jews. These were the Catholic Church. These were the priests and the monks in the Catholic Church. Because Martin Luther was one of the monks before he was converted. And this is exactly what he believed. He believed that he was a true, that they were the true Israel. Okay? Verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven congregations of Israel. I have some of those additional words there, seven congregations, Israel. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So now he's telling Martin Luther, all of those that overcome under your administration from 1500 on, all of those of the Lutheran congregation that overcome shall not be hurt of the second death. Because they're all going to die and go into their graves. They're going to suffer the first death. But if they overcome during their time period that they are called, then they will not be hurt by the second death. Okay, verse 12, Revelation chapter 2. And unto the angel of the congregation of Israel in Pergamos, notice it says in the Pergamos. Right. Now here is the angel now in the antitype of this Pergamos. Pergamos represents the Presbyterian congregation that came out in 1543 by the John Knox with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And John Knox accepted the doctrine of Luther that had gone before him, the doctrine of the blood of the everlasting covenant. And he had to if in order to be given the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit teaches all of the doctrines of the Yahshua and the meaning of them. Okay? And the angel of the congregation, Pergamos, right. And unto the angel, John Knox, Presbyterian congregation, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with the two edges, Who is the one that has a sharp sword of two edges? Yahshua. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Ooh. And when you have the doctrine of Balaam, then you bring into Ahab and a Jezebel situation here. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Ooh, man. 23,000 fell in one day of the priesthood of the house of Israel because they committed fornication with the Midianitish women that was just over the mountain. Verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now notice he told Paul in the first congregation of Ephesus, he said, you hate the doctrine. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. But he says here in Pergamos, he says, I hate those also then that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So he said, I hate those in the congregation that holds that doctrine. Repent, verse 16, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against thee, against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven congregations of Israel. Unto him that overcometh will I give the head of the eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So now here's a promise to Pergamos, the third congregation, Presbyterian, in John Knox's day. He that hath near him here, okay. So he's going to be given the hidden manna. Okay. Verse 18, and unto the angel of the congregation of Israel in Thyatira write. Now who is this angel? The Methodist was the next congregation that came on the scene in 1725, after the Presbyterian congregation of John Knox with the Holy Spirit, and they had the doctrine of grace. Well, they accepted the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and they accepted the doctrine of Martin Luther's righteousness by faith. And so John Wesley from England, Methodist, I said, and unto the angel of the congregation in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of Yahweh, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. We know that every one of these churches that had something wrong with them, they no doubt had a Jezebel in their midst. And that Jezebel, no doubt, would be the prophet's wife. It don't necessarily have to be the prophet's wife, but I know of two occasions where it was. To teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. So we have that in the typology of Ahab and Jezebel, with Elijah up on Mount Carmel, and so forth. You know the rest of the story. You can go read it. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Okay. So, he says he gave her space to repent. Well, how much space did the Methodist Church have when they came on the scene in 1725? They had to 1810. They had to 1810 when John Wesley came on, Alexander Campbell came on the scene with the doctrine of baptism and creating the Baptist congregation. So it's about 85 years that this is the Methodist congregation had an opportunity to grow in the truth step by step. But if they held some people in their midst that kept them watered down and diluted, and in this case they had a Jezebel that did this. So he's telling John Wesley and the Methodist Church, he said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. He gave her 85 years. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deed. He gave Gilead Center 33 and a half years, from 1970 to 2003, to repent. And that angel of the seventh candlestick, Rullis, he had a wife that was a Jezebel, and he gave Gilead Center, Laodicea, the seventh candlestick, he gave them 33 and a half years to repent, and they refused to do it. That's the reason why all these seven churches actually fell away. Alright? In the top. It's because there was a remnant saved out of each one. Yes, definitely. They're in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they will come forth. Because it says the ones that overcome, only the overcomer in all these seven congregations will not suffer the second death, it said. In verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know, see, and all the churches, with an S on churches, so, and all the congregations, in other words, and all the seven congregations of Israel, well, shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according unto your works. There it is right there. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, he's talking about the Methodist Church. He's talking about the Methodist Church. As many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. So what did the Methodist Church have then? They had the doctrine of grace, they had the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, they had the doctrine of righteousness by faith in the blood of the Yahshua, they had those three doctrines. And they kept Sunday. Yet they were a congregation of Israel. Because the Catholic Church had them captive during the Dark Ages, and they had the timeline on how long the congregations were to blaspheme the Sabbath and trample upon it. 1260 years, from 538 to 1798. So John Wesley came on the scene in 1725, and he was under that mandate of 1260 years that he could not keep the Sabbath, could not teach the Sabbath. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. So hold fast on those three doctrines that you have received, and he that overcometh, see, he's addressing the Methodist Church here. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nation. So now he's addressing all the seven congregations. It says so earlier, he said the seven congregations up there in verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the congregation shall know. So all the congregation cleared through Laodicea, and Laodicea came to her end in 2003, commutation. So up to that time, he said, and he that overcometh up to that time and keepeth my works unto the end, and in other words, what end? Unto the end of the seven congregations when they come to their end. Unto him will I give power over the nation. Well, here you have it. Power over the nations. And we represent the last ones of Laodicea, the seventh congregation. I represent the one that succeeded the angel that was spewed out, Lewis W. Johnson, ending the seven congregations in their reign. In their reign. But guess what? I obtained all of the doctrines that the seven congregations received and more. In other words, I received the ten. Talked about that in Revelation 19. I mean, Luke 19. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. So, the last one to overcome our Laodicea congregation that gets the new name, it says hidden manna, he gets the new name of the hidden manna because he overcome. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to sugar, even as I received of my Father. Okay, it says, and I will give him the morning star. Now, who's the morning star? This is the branch. This is Yahshua, the bright and morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven congregations of Asia and Israel. All right, that ends chapter 2 of Revelation. So let's go over now into chapter 3, Messages unto the Seven Congregations. Let's continue on with our messages to the seven congregations of Israel. And unto the angel of the congregation in Sardis write. Now who is this angel of the congregation in Sardis? Right. Well, this is Alexander Campbell, the one that started the what they called the Christian church back then with the doctrine of baptism. And then they changed the name, no doubt, to the Baptist congregation. And then the Baptist congregation saw the light on the Seventh-day Sabbath, and so they branched off and started a Seventh-day Baptist church. They actually saw it, 1810. When the Baptist Church was born, with Alexander Campbell. So unto the angel, Alexander Campbell, of the Baptist congregation, and the Sardis. Sardis is the fifth congregation mentioned of the seven. 1810, Alexander Campbell is this angel. This thing says, he that hath the seven spirits of Yahweh. Now, the Baptist Church has the seven spirits of Yahweh. And that's the reason why they branched off later and started keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. Because they had the seven spirits of Yahweh. Okay. And the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before Yahweh. See, none of these Baptist reformers, none of these Protestant reformers starting with Martin Luther in 1500, they didn't have perfect works because they didn't have the sanctuary restored with all the feast days and all the divine institutions that are trampled underfoot by the Catholic Church. They were as a matter of fact, these Reformed congregations were the ones, the Lutheran, the Presbyterian, the Methodist, and the Baptist. They were the main Reformed congregations restoring all of these doctrines. But they couldn't, that's the reason why their works was not perfect, because they hadn't been given light to restore all of these doctrines. Let's put in that Ezekiel 4, 9 vessel. Okay. So verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in the white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the congregations, the seven congregations of Israel. Verse 7, and unto the angel of the congregation in Philadelphia write. Now who is this angel in Philadelphia? The one that succeeded the angel of Sardis, Alexander Campbell. William Miller, 1833. The Millerite movement. They were called First Day Adventists, still keeping Sunday. Okay. The Sabbath keeping was born out of the Millerite movement, which was the sixth church. The Seventh-day Adventists was the seventh congregation. And so they was the one to end up with the seventh doctrine of the Sabbath keeping. Alright, let's read that again. Verse 7. And unto the angel William Miller of the Philadelphian congregation write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of the David. Now, it's talking about the one that's holy, the one that's true, and the one that hath the key of David. So not everyone has the key of David in these seven congregations. There's only one. There's only one that has the key of David. And he is not the one, and he is not the one. He's not an angel of the, he doesn't represent not one of the angels of the seven congregations. That's one that has the key of David. I know I said before that William Miller had the key of David, and indeed he did have the key to open up the 2300 year prophecy, because it was given unto him. But this key of David, I believe, is a little bit different, because right there we get a first fruiter in Isaiah 22, 21, and 22 on that. In the prophecy of Isaiah, it says that in Isaiah 22, 21, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit my government into his hand, and he shall be a father unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto the house of Judah. This one that has the key of David. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious stone to his father's house. So this is the one that has the key of David here. Your prophecy is right there in Isaiah 22, 21 through 23. Here's your prophecy for what I just read to you here in Revelation. Okay. He that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now, who is these ones that are going to make of the synagogue of Satan? It's all of those in the seven congregations that has not overcome. It's not necessarily just the Catholic Church alone. Yes, it's all of those in all of Babylon that never accepted the truth to begin with. I'm talking about all those that had a chance to overcome in the seven, that was members of the seven congregation. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. I know that Kermit, Texas, 1970. Brother Johnson says, we are all predestined, Hebrew Israelites. We are all Jews. We are all spiritual Israelites. Were we? I know I was of the tribe of Judah. Prove that out after it's all over with. But what about the rest of them? Well, they were cut off and are gone. And the prophecy showed where they were not of the house of Israel to begin with. They were of the house of Esau, which was actually, had a Hebrew father, but nevertheless, they were pagan and heathen. They ended up. So he says, I'll make them a synagogue of Satan, all of those that don't overcome, period. Whether they be Israelite born or not, if they don't overcome, they're all cast together in the same pot, which say they are Jews, no, not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So he's going to make them all. When it's over with, see the light on who really overcame. And then they're going to come and acknowledge, well, you're the one that Yahweh has chosen after all. You're the one that I fought against when I was with you in the congregation, when everybody was called to overcome. You're the ones that, y'all are the ones that we fought against. They're going to come and bow at your feet. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my Yahweh, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my Yahweh and the name of the city of my Yahweh, which is the new Jerusalem which cometh down out of heaven from my Yahweh, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath near, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven congregations in Israel. Alright, verse 14. And unto the angel of the congregation of the Laodiceans write. Now this is the congregation that I was born in. This is the congregation that I spent my life up to now representing. These things. So who is this angel then of the congregation of the Laodicean? He would have to be the last one appointed over the candlestick of Laodicea, and that would be Brother W. Johnson. So we've said that many times before. And we're going to say it again here for the interest for the Gentiles, because this message is for the Gentiles. And unto the angel, Brother Steady Johnson, of the congregation of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Hallelujah, saith the Yahweh, saith the Yahshua. It says saith the Amen here, but we know Amen is the name of a pagan god, so we're not going to use that here. These things saith the Yahshua. I'm just going to strike that out and put Yahshua's name there. The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of the Father, Yahweh. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with the goods, and have need of the nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not appear. Go read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, and you can read about prophecy corresponding to this prophecy here. And anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven congregations of the Israel. That ends chapter 3. And that pretty much going to take up our sermon for today. We have about a couple of minutes left here to talk about it. So what I want Jeff White to do, in a typical House of David number 2 in Africa, you're right in going to the Gentiles, because you need to take these messages here that I'm preaching. You need to study them, and then write out your summary and take it to those Gentiles and teach this message to those Gentiles. It's time for it. And so there's nothing better, because Yahweh told me to start back over today on this Revelation chapter 1 and go slowly through it. And he would help me to dissect it and to bring out it more, the truth more, and more clarity. And that's what we have done here. This brings in our studies. Our contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. He lives.
I serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Now that he is living, whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, not sure as today. He walks with me and talks with me, won't let me head away. He lives, salvation to impart. Bless me, how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And all the world around me, I see his loving care. Though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. Know that he is leading through all the stormy flood. Today his appearing will come at last. He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along that narrow way. Salvation to him fall. Bless me, for no healing. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Chant hallelujah. Yahshua the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find, and ever is the loving so good and kind. He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along that narrow way. He lives, salvation to him for. Bless me, how I know he lives. He lives within.